The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, December 7th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We're going over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me as we wrap up this week here on Bang the Book Radio. Two items of business left to take care of. The first, our Week 14 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. I'll employ the help of Joe Everett once again here for this week. A card that I don't love necessarily, but I've got a lot of thoughts here on several of the games. Four games I would classify as picks for right now. Three I would classify as leans. So, of course, having to dig a little bit deeper into the card here because of our positioning in the Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge. We are eighth in that right now. And with only one college game, we have to take a much deeper look at the NFL card. So it'll help for the Super Contest segment here because I have some more thoughts than usual, at least from a volume standpoint. Second half of today's show, Brent from DSI Sportsbook will join us for this week's version of the Odds Report. Sharp money out there in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. Of course, only one college football game here this weekend with Army and Navy. But we will talk with Brent during the segment about, you know, the bowl games, the setting of lines, the managing of risk, the timelines for limits to increase, all those types of things. So we'll definitely touch on all that good stuff with Brent. And then, of course, look at week 14 here of the NFL card. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information, and with good reason. Danny Vorgs' NFL power ratings picks are 57% lifetime over at Bang the Book. Also, his totals leans, doing very well this season also. So you want to make sure that you check those out. Doing a fantastic job with those. A really great asset for us over there at the website. My college football power ratings have been updated for the bowl season, so you can check those out as well. Starting to roll out our college football bowl previews. I think we've got about 10 of the 39 bowl games here so far. The 40th game will be the national championship game. Obviously, we'll write that one up when we get to it. But our cast of writers is doing a fantastic job with those bowl previews. Should have all of them up here for you this weekend. If not, I anticipate it will be very shortly after once we get into the work week next week. But Parker Michael's killing it in the NHL. You definitely want to make sure that you're following along with him, checking out all the great information that he provides. NBA, college basketball, we got a lot of coverage for both of those as well. Soccer, the European soccer leagues, we touch on those also. UFC 231 preview, a lot of good stuff. Just head on over there to the website, check it out. I promise that you won't be disappointed. Don't forget while you're there to get involved in those free pick contests as well, so you can see if you can pick up some cash prizes for our daily sugar contest and our monthly contests as well. And then, of course, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. You sign up at DSI using that BTB200 promo code. Good for a 100% deposit match bonus for the Sportsbook, up to $500. And the same for the live casino, 100% deposit match bonus, up to $500. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. One thing I do want to ask our listeners to do here at the top of today's show, I usually don't ask you for too much, but I want you to tweet at Rico, R-I-C-O, underscore D-E, underscore Gallo, G-A-L-L-O. That's Bang the Book writer Richard Lammons. Make sure you tell him that he needs to watch the Bourne movies this weekend or at his next available convenience because he hasn't watched those. I've been giving him shit all week for it. Blow up his spot. Blow up his mentions on Twitter. Again, that's at Rico DeGallo, Richard Lammons, Bang the Book writer. Make sure you tell him that he needs to go out there and watch the Bourne movies here this weekend because he clearly doesn't know what he's missing. We got two segments left here this week on Bang the Book Radio. The first is our Westgate Super Contest selection segment. Joe Everett helping me out with that this week here as well. My Bang the Book podcast entry, just 2-3 last week, so kind of hit the skids a tiny bit there. 28-31-6 now for the season. Had been 16-8-1 over the previous 5 weeks, so hopefully can get back on the right track here this week. Without further ado, here is this week's Westgate Super Contest selection segment with myself and Joe Everett. All right, I'm joined now by Joe Everett for our week 14 Westgate Super Contest Selection Segment. Joe, how's it going today, man?
Oh, going great. Getting ready for Army Navy. A little triple option fest. My favorite kind of football, actually.
Yeah, right. Some good old Smash Mouth football here coming up on Saturday, and we'll see how Smash Mouth Sunday is here in the NFL. We've got a very interesting NFL card this week, and with our placement in the Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge, as I mentioned in the intro to the show today, very, very big week for us because there's only that one college game, lots of NFL games. So, you know, we're going to have to figure out how to get six or seven of these NFL games onto that Golden Nugget card. But we're going to talk about the Super Contest here, and specifically my Bang the Book podcast entry, 2-3 last week, 28-31-6 for the season. Our Bang the Book, our other traditional entry, 35-27-3. BangTheBook.com gold entry, 33-29-3 through 13 weeks. The field last week, 47.59%. The field now year to date, 51.48%. Joe, as I talked about with Brad Powers on our Thursday edition of Bang the Book Radio, it's a really tough time of the year for the NFL because you've got a lot of teams in playoff purgatory. You've got a lot of teams that aren't going anywhere, some that expected to, some that knew they weren't going anywhere. And then you've got some teams that, you know, are maybe kind of wondering about the future of their coaching staff or, you know, about their own personal individual futures in free agency. These next 4 weeks in the NFL are very tricky.
Oh, yeah, it's a tight race. And then these teams that are just neck and neck on that home field advantage at the end of it, and flat out, some of these injuries that we've seen, and poor Alex Smith, we're hearing with his follow-up surgeries and the infections, and the injury problems, that war of attrition is real. That struggle is real. So engaging where these teams are and getting an accurate injury report anymore, I don't blame some of these teams at this point in the season. You don't want to divulge as much. So, yeah, it's a lot of foibles, pitfalls out there at this point in the year, and that's just, you know, that's why it gets tough. I mean, it's that trapdoor could fall right through at any minute.
Well, and something that'll be interesting to me, and obviously we'll know the outcome of the Thursday night football game by the time our listeners hear this, but the consensus on the season here, 3-11-1 in that Thursday night game, little bit of line value out there with Jacksonville 4.5. Titans were up to a 5.5-point favorite. So if you like Tennessee, you were getting a little bit of line value from a Super Contest standpoint, not anything through a key number by any means. But the consensus on Thursday night has not been good at all so far this season. It's very tough to lock in your full five-play card, so we generally don't look at that Thursday night game too much. But I'll be curious to see if the consensus actually gets one there in that spot. But we'll go ahead and take a look at the games that I do like here for my Bang the Book podcast entry. And I'm going to start by being very four-sided, very square with this first game. Number three in the Super Contest rotation order is the Kansas City Chiefs. They are a 6.5-point favorite in the Super Contest against the Baltimore Ravens. And look, we all know Lamar Jackson is banged up, concussion protocol or concussion test last week, maybe some concussion protocol stuff here this week. But the thing that's really concerning to me about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens is that, yes, they won the game last week against the Falcons. However, Jackson 17 carries for just 75 yards, only 12 of 21 passing for 125 yards, sacked twice, fumbled three times, but didn't lose any of them. Yeah, this Kansas City defense is not great, but Atlanta's defense is pretty bad too. And for the most part, Atlanta really bottled up Lamar Jackson. So I think you look at this game here, I'm worried about what Baltimore does offensively, even against a Kansas City defense that's not particularly great. The Baltimore defense, I think, is a little bit overrated. They don't force turnovers. And I feel like as you go throughout the season here, you run into some teams that will move the football on you. New Orleans had 26 first downs. Pittsburgh had 27 first downs. Yeah, they were both held under 400 yards, and to do that to the Saints is very impressive. But those two teams still moved the football. I think Atlanta quit on the season. I think that was evident last week. I know Baltimore is the sharp side because sharp guys almost always lean towards the good defense in a matchup like this. But for me, I think Kansas City is the side here.
That's the only way I'd go. And that's one of the few plays I've got written down. I don't care. Call me square. Right now I'm looking at a Baltimore team that's pretty nicked up too. and it's a lot beyond their quarterback, that safety Tony Jefferson didn't play in the last game, and he's more their enforcer-type safety. Weddle, he didn't practice yesterday, but I'm pretty sure that's just maintenance for a veteran player. Yanda also didn't practice. I mean, it's just, once again, getting accurate information on the Ravens, but I'm looking at a team in Kansas City, home field fight, that's still very much on their minds, you know. Like, they're not forgetting that. It's one game difference between them and the Pats still, so there's no quitting that. I think this problem, I don't want to call it a problem with Baltimore, but we've talked about it before. They're not going away from that offense. Just, I don't care. I love these little updates and injury on Flacco. He could be coming back. So, well, they're deciding to start Lamar. It's, the change has been made. The set, it's already done. Like, those updates are pointless. If Lamar doesn't play, it's going to be RG3. Once again, the only reason he's on the roster, this is that offense going forward, and I don't see that offense catching up if they get 14 behind or 10 behind. I mean, once it gets double digits, I don't know that their air raid style version of that option, that read, is going to work. And I just don't have any faith of that side, so I think it's got to be Kansas City and a team that it doesn't matter who. Oh, is it division? Is it conference? They're taking all comers, and I know Kareem Hunt's real hard to replace, but I think they could still have you in so many ways. They're just going to have it a little bit more spread. I think some of those points, it's going to come through the air now, and that Kansas City can get that done. So, yeah, I'd be siding Chiefs.
You know, look at Baltimore, and the defense is great. Don't get me wrong. The defense is great, has been great. But Atlanta quit on the season, and, you know, Steve Sarkisian's had all of his problems. Raiders and Bengals. Steelers and Saints, as I mentioned, both moved the football. Carolina moved the football quite a bit in Week 8. Then you've got Buffalo, Cincinnati, Denver, the first game against Pittsburgh, the Browns, and the Titans. They haven't faced a whole lot of really good offenses here so far. Kansas City has that different dynamic, has that different element with all the speed with Tyreek Hill, with Travis Kelce, who's a matchup nightmare. And it's not Baltimore's fault that they really haven't played a lot of great offenses. But I do think that this is a week where they do really get challenged on the defensive side. They beat me. It is what it is. But there's a reason why Baltimore has the best defense in the league from a yards per play standpoint by a pretty decent margin, and they're still catching almost a touchdown here.
Yeah, I would look at a little bit of a favored schedule, but I think the ultimate point here is, yeah, I don't understand what they're doing with the total like you, and the simple fact is, as good as Gus Edwards in this run game's been, those fullback dives don't help you when you're 10 down or 14 or whatever it's going to be. So I think it's just a bad recipe. It's at Arrowhead. Give me the Chiefs.
That's an excellent point. Something I didn't even think about, and it makes my position even stronger. Let's say Kansas City does jump out 10-0, 14-0, maybe 17-7, something like that. Baltimore's not a come-from-behind team. You know, Lamar Jackson is not a good passer. So, I mean, maybe we just haven't seen him throw that much at the NFL level because he hasn't had to, but I don't think he's a very good passer at all, and certainly not by NFL standards. That's a really important point here, where in a traditional sense, you're worried about the back door being open, something like that. But for Baltimore, they have to run the football, and that much has been clear over these last 3 weeks. So that's a good point and something that makes me like that Chiefs side a little bit more. Again, four-sided, maybe a little square, but I do like Kansas City here in this spot. Another game that's probably going to be very, very public in nature, the Green Bay Packers, number 9 in the Super Contest rotation order. They take on the Atlanta Falcons, who are getting 5.5. We'll start with the Atlanta side because the Green Bay side is pretty obvious. Atlanta, it feels like they've quit on the season. And now Matt Ryan outside in the cold, hard football, cold hands, all that stuff up at Lambeau Field. Don't love that for the Falcons at all in this situation. Defensively, they are still a train wreck. And you've got number 12 on the other side in green and Aaron Rodgers. Got to be thrilled that Mike McCarthy is gone. Yeah, they're not making the playoffs, but this is one of those spots now for Aaron Rodgers where it is officially his team. On the field, it was his team, but in meetings, in the video room, all that type of stuff, it wasn't his team. It was Mike McCarthy's team. And that power struggle finally came to a head, I think. And that loss to Arizona last week, is it concerning about Green Bay? Sure. But also, too, this is a team that had no playoff aspirations and wanted to get rid of its head coach. Not to say they submarined him necessarily, but there may have been a little bit of playing possum from the Packers last week. You have to believe that now that McCarthy is gone, we talked about this on Monday, Aaron Rodgers is free. The shackles are off. This is his football team. I think he goes out there and puts on a show against a pretty bad defense. And I just don't think Atlanta wants to show up and play in the cold here.
I always worry about Matt Ryan and those splits. So that is what it is. And say, hey, you want to prove me wrong, Matt? You want to earn Matty Ice, the actual nickname that you got before you were good at anything. That's its own situation. But, yeah, this is kind of a statement game for, I think, Green Bay and Aaron. And, boy, those heated Winston Moss comments out there, you know, someone's got to rein Aaron in. And if you're not on, like, that's – this really is, you know, shots fired indeed. I think this is for Aaron and Joe Philbin. Joe Philbin's wanting to stake his claim on this job and you know, maybe be considered for it. Well, go out, put a whooping on the Falcons and paint this pretty picture here at home because your predecessor couldn't do it. And I think you're right in the sense that we all know their backs are against the wall, but I think it's even more long-term than that. It's the whole building and organization siding with what's going on with Aaron. We're in Aaron's camp. So, Aaron, now the ball is in your court. He really needs to respond. And if they don't, wow, what to be a fly on the wall in the building, because things are really changing in Green Bay with that kind of power structure they've got. It's not, I don't know, Gutekunst is really calling all these shots. So it's like it's Aaron's camp. Aaron really needs to show up, though. They've given you the conch. Well, you better go out and say something.
Well, and I think, too, when you look at the situation for Atlanta here, I mean, Dan Quinn is safe. I think Marquand Manuel is safe. I don't know about Steve Sarkisian. It all depends on how close he is with Dan Quinn and how close he is with the front office. But Atlanta's in one of those positions to say, look, it was injuries. You know, we lost Deion Jones. We lost Keanu Neal. We lost Devontae Freeman. You know, maybe Julio hasn't been healthy all year. They've lost some interior linemen, stuff like that. Atlanta has a fallback. Atlanta could say, you know what? We just had a lot of injuries, and we're going to be fine next year. And I think you get some complacency late in the year with a team like that that can use injuries as a crutch. I don't think Green Bay can really do that. Have some wide receivers been hurt? Yeah, they've been in and out of the lineup. Their offensive line is hurt year in and year out, so that's not a crutch anymore. The defense has a lot of injured guys in the secondary year in and year out. Not a crutch. Atlanta can say, ah, you know what? It was just one of those years guys were hurt. I think for Green Bay, this is, we shit the bed with a team that was supposed to be pretty good. Let's finish this thing with some pride, go into the offseason, get us a coach, and then, you know, we'll go with it from there for next year. Because now all of a sudden, as Green Bay, not only are you sitting there watching Minnesota be a competitive team for another year, maybe Detroit, who's been decent in the underdog role, is improving a little bit, but you're looking at the Chicago Bears. And that's the one that pisses you off when you're the Green Bay Packers. So I think they have some incentive to finish this thing out strong. I don't see that same case here for Atlanta. You know, if you suck because you're the Jets or because you're the Bills or something like that, that's one thing. If you suck because of injuries, you go into it kind of thinking, eh, we'll be better next year. It'll be fine. We don't have anything to worry about the rest of the way. We'll just finish this thing out, play out the string, get into the offseason. I think maybe that's the trap Atlanta's fallen into a little bit.
No, and I think they do try and put a positive spin on it for Green Bay. And also, this to me, I smell a bit of a warm-up game. I don't know if that's a term or anything. I know it's always, oh, this is a trap game. Here's the sandwich game. But no, you're trying to get your camp together, get a little cohesion on offense to make sure you're ready to go into Chicago and try and make that a game. Because I think that's really – what this is about is it like this is that get right game. So yeah, I would definitely be on the Green Bay side of things. I think Philbin and Rodgers, that team, something to prove. They both like each other. This is the guy basically Aaron wants. So he's gonna go out and try and win his buddy a job is what I'm thinking.
All right, so let's talk about the Rams in Chicago here, which is the next game on my list. And, you know, I talked about in the first game, Baltimore and Kansas City, sharp money on the defensive team certainly makes sense. I do like the favorite a little bit in that spot, though. It is the opposite here on Sunday Night Football as the Rams make the trip out to Soldier Field. Really, really, really wish this game was 3.5 instead of 3 because, as my record shows, I've got 6 pushes already on the year that it would have been nice if those games would have fallen in the opposite direction for me. But in this particular spot here, you know, you've got the Rams making another long trip. They went out to Detroit, went home, practiced, all that type of stuff. Now they're going out to Chicago. This game is not inside like last week's at Ford Field. This game is outside in the cold. Looks like wind may be a little bit of a factor during game time. I like the Bears in this spot. You know, you've got a really good Bears defense here, and you've got a Bears offense that, you know, Mitch Trubisky's coming back, so that should help them from a balance standpoint. But also, you know, maybe Jordan Howard's not the greatest running back, but Tariq Cohen's a pretty fun kind of guy. And if there's one thing you've been able to do with the Rams this year, it's been run the football on them. I think Chicago can do that here in this game. I think Matt Nagy is a savvy enough offensive mind to figure out what he needs to do to move that Rams front around and get some yards on the ground. You've got Jared Goff playing out in the cold. Also, it wouldn't surprise me here. You know, the Rams coming off of clinching the NFC West, yes, they need to stay ahead of the Saints because the Saints have the tiebreaker. But when you've got Todd Gurley and you're a month away from the playoffs, and yes, you'll probably have that week one bye in the wild card round, you do not want Todd Gurley hurt. So I think this is a much bigger game for Chicago than it is for the Rams because I think Sean McVay is cerebral enough to go into this and say, you know what, yeah, I want to play well. I want our defense to play well, but I'm not going to sell out to win this primetime game. I don't think Todd Gurley has a huge workload this week or any week going forward. I think it helps to see Jared Goff play in the cold for the future, but I don't think that they'll sell out the same way that the Chicago Bears will. So give me the better defense at home in the cold, team that's got more of a chip on its shoulder, more of something to prove. I'll take the Bears here in this spot, and it helps that it's a pretty contrarian play with a lot of public money coming in on the Rams.
Probably the way in this contest, you know, contrarian, the way to go. But I tell you, it's tough with this Bears team because it's always been that Eddie Jackson getting a touchdown every week. It's so reminiscent of that new Lovie Smith era, 2001, where Mike Brown, that safety number 30, caught a – he's got a touchdown every other week, it seemed. And it's like, wow, how's this Bears team going to lose if they score? Well, the one week they don't score a defensive touchdown, they lose. And what happened last week? They only got the one turnover on defense. They lost. If they play a team that knows how to take care of the ball with a good runner and ball security that works play action and has got an experienced quarterback here and they don't turn the ball over, I'm really worried about the Bears. So that's one problem. I think it's, you know, yes, it's square to keep on picking Dre Fogue and the Rams, but I don't care. Square me up, and I'm fine with that because here's a real good team. They got Talib back. I think it's going to be real hard for the Bears to pass. I don't care if Trubisky's back or True or Chase Daniels. It doesn't matter. I think it's real hard for me to go against the Rams here. I think that's where it's I do hear what you're saying, especially the Saints having that loss. You know, that now the Rams are that one up. So, and plus, you know, it is going to be hard for them to run the heck out of the ball, losing Malcolm Brown with that clavicle. They still have the Tennessee kid Kelly, and then Justin Davis. I don't know where he's at with his injury. So really, there's not a lot of healthy backs for the Rams outside of Gurley. So, and I definitely agree with your thinking. Like they're not gonna run him into the ground with a long playoff stretch yet ahead. So that's where it's a little mystery. I mean, if someone, you know, wants to stay away from this, I definitely wouldn't blame them. But I'm leaning Rams. So hate to go against you there. It's just it's tough to go against this Rams team that. They've still got those weapons. If anyone has some pass pro against the Bears, this is definitely, you know, clearly that's why they flexed it. I mean, get your popcorn ready, but I'm siding Rams.
No, I mean, it's perfectly fair. I'm happy to have a difference of opinion here on this segment. I just, again, I think the Jared Goff thing is a lot to me to see, you know, how this kid does going out there playing in cold weather against a very, very good defense. And, you know, in terms of having to get the ball out really quickly, you know, I mean, the Bears are going to pin their ears back and come after him. And maybe the Rams have success running the football as a result, but I don't know. I feel like the Bears, you know, with their defense, with the conditions, with what the Rams really have to play for here, I just think the Bears are the right side, and we'll see. I mean, it's a very sharp versus public split type of game. Wouldn't shock me if the Rams are in the top five consensus, but the Bears, you know, will get their fair share of love in this spot as well. So while I think that one of the things that does worry me is that it is one of the higher variance games of the week, I think, because these are two very good teams. I just have to take the better defense here in this very bad situational spot, not just the cold, but also the back-to-back travel out there to the Midwest. So far, the games I've talked about here that would be classified as picks, Kansas City, Green Bay, and Chicago, three home teams here so far. Let's go to another home team, and this is a home team getting a pretty hefty number of points. I may end up hating myself for this one, but it is the Oakland Raiders. They are number 30 in the Super Contest rotation order. They are plus 10.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, the Raiders are not a good team. We know that. You know that, Joe. I know that. Everybody knows that. They've made that very apparent here over the course of the season. However, this is an Oakland team that really over the last few weeks, and really since they played the Chargers pretty tough at home in that game week 10, they've kind of taken it upon themselves to try and ruin this perfect season dream for John Gruden and, you know, the Davis family and everybody that's involved with all of this. They're really trying hard to hang around in these games. They hung around last week with the Chiefs. They had that win over the Cardinals on the road. They didn't play all that bad against Baltimore. I think it was just a case where they really weren't ready for Lamar Jackson and the read option and all of that. This week, though, the Steelers have the Patriots on deck at home. This is a win and get out game. This is a spot where you've already lost James Conner to a high ankle sprain. You're not putting Ben Roethlisberger at risk. You're going to try not to put Antonio Brown at risk or Juju Smith-Schuster for that matter. Yeah, this game matters in terms of the AFC North because Baltimore is right there. Also, I think, too, the outcome of the Baltimore game early may have an impact on this. If Baltimore loses that game to Kansas City, and they are expected to based on the line, maybe Pittsburgh kind of puts it in cruise control a little bit in this later game against Oakland. I think for Oakland here, you know, they're still playing hard. At least Derek Carr, and, you know, he's kind of rallied the team a little bit with that collective middle finger. I don't think we get a max effort from Pittsburgh here this week with the Patriots on deck. This is win and get out, and it doesn't mean covering 10.5. I'll take the Raiders here in this spot.
Yeah, it's like this game stinks of that early evening backdoor. Is anybody watching this game? Oh, look, the Raiders covered. Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. But my issue is still these receivers aren't injured. James Conner and, you know, maybe Gilbert, that right tackle, who I think he may have gotten in limited today, but be that as it may, Juju is healthy, Antonio Brown's healthy, and if you look at those corners on the Raiders squad, they're not running with those guys. So that's the big issue. I fully expect the Steelers to jump out to an early lead there. But that is a worry. I still think, like, you know, resting on their laurels, oh, we're up by 20, what have you, and oh, we're fine, 13. And then how Jared Cook sneak in there for a touchdown, which I think that's your mismatch. That's just the downside of the Raiders. That's the only sort of, you know, I've always listened to Rick Venturi here, the old coach. He calls it ambient player. That Cook's the only one on the entire roster for the Raiders, and that's the, like, only threat. So, but with the, you know, questionable linebacker talent for Pittsburgh and the safeties, that's still a way they can score points. Gruden, I still pretty good schemer, so how many of the plays he's got scripted, I think those are still pretty good as gold. So the Raiders will definitely find a way to get some points here. It's I don't know that I'd be on that play myself, but still, it's situation like that spot. I could definitely see it. It's the Steelers, like, yeah, we've got the W, everything's under wraps. Who cares what the Raiders do from this point?
Well, you look at Derek Carr here, over his last seven games, 67% completion percentage, 9-0 touchdown interception ratio. Yeah, he's been sacked 27 times, and the Raiders have had problems protecting him, which is a concern against the Pittsburgh defense that's very good at rushing the passer. But Carr hasn't turned the football over in his last seven games. I do like that quite a bit, that he's a guy that still, again, appears focused on the task at hand, on the task of, you know, trying to keep this team from getting the first overall pick as his little sort of revenge or retribution or whatever you want to call it. He's taking care of the football. And as long as Oakland can hang around from a field position standpoint here in this game, I think they can keep this very close. As I mentioned, against the Pittsburgh team, I don't think they're going to be fully in this game, especially with what's coming up on deck for them. So the four games would classify as picks here for Week 14, Kansas City, Green Bay, Chicago, and Oakland, four home teams here in terms of the picks. Now we'll move on to the leans. And again, like I said, I had to dig a little bit deeper into this card here with the fact that we need so many NFL picks for the Nugget. The Miami Dolphins are moderately interesting this week. They're not a very good team, but they found a way to win last week against the Bills. The concern, obviously, is that the Patriots seem to have found that second or third gear that they always find at this time of the year. But like I just mentioned with Pittsburgh, the Patriots have a big game on deck because, as I talked about with Brian Blessing on Wednesday's show, New England's rival in the AFC is the Pittsburgh Steelers now. It is not anybody in the AFC East. It is no longer Indianapolis with how they've, you know, with Andrew Luck's injuries. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for New England here, maybe this is a win and get out type of game down in Miami. Again, I don't love this one, but getting over a touchdown here with the Dolphins and New England in a little bit of a down spot, Miami would be a lean for me.
I wouldn't blame you there. The one thing is definitely they've got a lot more positivity in that building now that Tannehill's back. You know, all the criticisms aside, I know he's a former wide receiver and terrible accuracy. He is the leader in that building, and the players do respond to him. So they have that going for them, and they're not one of the worst banged-up teams there are, except for the one player that's having me just take pause from the Miami side is that all-star corner there that's got Xavien Howard, four interceptions in the last two games, so he's been hot, but I think his knee is just that here, and they may shelf him for the year, which that would be a significant downgrade. You still got Minka Fitzpatrick and those safeties. I know Rashawn Jones playing with an injury, but it's a fair secondary without him, but they're real good with him. And yeah, Xavien Howard, I think that's still, I may have said it on the show before, but that's the best corner that no one wants to talk about. You know, Marcus Peterson to leave, and you know, this, all these other players of Peterson, but Xavien Howard right now, when he's right and healthy, he shuts guys down, and they don't have him out there. It's going to be a bit of a different story trying to handle Josh Gordon and company. I think that's that one injury. It is significant enough. I know it's like, well, I'd love to bring up these one player that really should affect the line. Well, Howard's definitely one of them.
Another one that's on the leans list here, and if this spot was better, I think it would classify as a play for me. The Chargers are a 14-point favorite against the Bengals. They are at home in this one. I don't think that winning this game and winning it comfortably is a problem for the Chargers. The Bengals injury report is a mess. AJ Green now done for the year. Carlos Dunlap may not play. Joe Mixon may not play. Dre Kirkpatrick may not play. Vontaze Burfict may not play. Cordy Glenn may not play. A lot of questionable guys, a lot of guys on IR for the Bengals here. And I thought that last week maybe they'd rally a little bit around Jeff Driscoll. They did move the football a little bit in that game at times, but you know, they've given up over 200 rushing yards three of the last 4 weeks. They've had a terrible run defense all year long. So if the Chargers pack this thing away and put the prevent offense together, I think they can still move the football. I do like Justin Jackson. I like Austin Eckler. Those are two very solid guys in the absence of Melvin Gordon. The problem I have here with taking the Chargers is, and the reason why this isn't a play, even with the big number, They play Kansas City on Thursday night next week on the road at Arrowhead. So this is the creme de la creme look at spots when you talk about, you know, that short Thursday week turnaround. So that's the worry that I have. But in this spot, I mean, the Bengals, you know, back-to-back home losses to the Browns and Broncos. Now they travel cross-country to Los Angeles. Do they have any interest in showing up at all whatsoever in this spot? I don't think so. So I may end up on the Chargers here. Again, the spot is what's holding me off. But I don't see Cincinnati being competitive here, Joe.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with betting against a team that you know doesn't want to show up, doesn't want any part of what's about to go on that field. A lot of guys are checked out mentally, the ones that that actually play. And then that injury report that you mentioned, it's just terrible for that. It's a lot of significant players. I think the most significant here is Cordy Glenn, because right now the Chargers pass rushers are getting close to 100. Ingram's playing well, and then Bosa, he just got a sack the other week. So I think he's finally, let's say, getting his sea legs, and I think that's one of the best tandem of pass rushers. And to be without your best pass protector, talk about ill timing. And then, yeah, I don't even need to get into the rest of the roster there. I think this is one of those situations where the Chargers are just kind of show up playing much better. They've got vested interest. They need to win. You just keep winning out, basically. And I agree, Justin Jackson is a heck of a player, and it looks like Eckler's healthy, and I don't think they missed out with either of those two. No offense to Gordon, but yeah, as long as Phillip Rivers is walking, I think Chargers minus 100.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing because they played that Sunday night game against Pittsburgh, had the emotional comeback win where Pittsburgh, you know, for all intents and purposes, kind of gifted them that game. Then Cincinnati, this is your prototypical flat spot, prototypical look-ahead spot. But I think the Bengals are just so bad, and in particular with the injuries that they have, that I think the Chargers can overcome what is a really bad situational spot. And also, too, with the big number, this is not a consensus play. This is not something that a lot of people, I think, will be willing to take. I do think that the Chargers are the more popular side, but this won't be a top five play. So I think I'll probably end up looking at the Chargers, and that will probably be my fifth play. But, you know, again, like I said, I do have some reservations, and that's why it's on the leans list as opposed to the picks list. One more game on the leans list here, and this one's a weather-related play. The Saints are laying a big number against Tampa Bay, and in a traditional sense, I would not like this spot at all. But for the Saints here, very heavy rains, thunderstorms possible, wind gusts up in the 30-mile-per-hour range. Well, Tampa Bay can't run the football at all whatsoever. And they're very banged up on defense without Lavonte David, Quan Alexander. We talked about Justin Evans being hurt most of the year. Yeah, they still have Gerald McCoy and some other guys that are decent. But the Saints have the much better running game here. And if this becomes a running fest because of the weather conditions and the bad wind, I don't know how Tampa Bay moves the football here. So this would be a weather consideration only. This game was not on my radar until I looked at the forecast, pardon the pun. But I think the Saints, with the only running game in this particular matchup, could be worth a look.
Tell you, I'm not going Saints because I expect kind of the bizarro game from when the last time these two teams met. You know, the Tampa scored so much, and I still think Tampa can score as much as they want if they're right. Sure, DeSean Jackson's probably not going to play, but then Godwin is no slouch there. I like what they got going in Humphreys, and Big Mike's doing just fine. So I think the Saints are looking at it like, we want to get into the next week, get out of here with a W. I think they got Teron Armstead coming back. At least he was limited in the last practice, so that's an upgrade for their O-line. Kamara took a pretty nasty hit in that last game. I'm surprised it wasn't a concussion because, like, from what I saw, that was just a brutal hit to the head. So I don't think they want extra exposure. Mike Thomas got a day off of maintenance early in the week. He's back at practice. So This is, yeah, I think the Saints, believe it or not, they want ground and pound. They want to get Ingram involved, pound the rock, and then shorten up this game and get out of town with a W at whatever cost. So I think that's probably a reason to maybe, you know, go to the other side, because the Saints aren't worried about a margin. They're worried about getting one more in that win column. And like I said, just let's get on the bus and get home.
Joe Everett, whose work can be found at Draft Scouts and Insider Football at Joe W. Everett on Twitter. Joe, appreciate you helping me out with the Super Contest segment here again this week. Thank you so much, bud, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
All right. Talk soon. Best of luck this weekend.
Always great to chat there with Joe Everett again from Draft Scouts and Insider Football. So that was our Week 14 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. Just to go ahead and recap for you here, the picks I'm looking at for this week: Kansas City, Green Bay, Chicago, and Oakland. And then on the lean side, looking at Miami, the Chargers, and Tampa Bay. Looks like as of now, I would consider the Chargers to be my fifth play. You know, again, still some time to consider this, of course, with the recording on Thursday night. Injury reports coming out on Friday, updated forecasts, all that type of thing. Forecasts, of course, very important here in the month of December. We got one more segment left for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Only one game on the college side here this weekend. That is Army-Navy. So touched on that. Also talked about the bowl process, managing risk over a long period of time, all that type of stuff, and then looked at a lot of sharp action here in the NFL for Week 14. So here is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent from DSI Sportsbook. He's the head risk manager down there in Costa Rica for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Wonderfully well. It's down here, you know, you get in the kind of the spirit of Christmas kind of kicks around December for most places. And down here is kind of when summer just kind of kicks in. So it's balmy and very warm, nice and hot down here. Not great to be indoors, but probably better than being up where you are.
Oh, I guarantee you it's better than being up where I am. So do people, like, decorate palm trees down there then instead?
No, actually, it's funny because I saw one place was advertising the side of the road. It was, like, a big deal that it was Canadian Christmas trees that they had here. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't know. I don't think they came from Canada. Maybe they took some seeds or something like that. But I thought that was kind of funny. Like, people would pay a little bit extra or have more interest because it was a Canadian Christmas tree and not a, you know, from anywhere else.
Well, it's got fresh Canadian maple syrup and a Tim Hortons gift card hanging from it, right?
Oh, Tim Hortons, don't get me started.
So franchise one. That's what you need to do. Franchise one down in Costa Rica. All right. Go ahead.
I was thinking that they're actually surprising that, like, Starbucks just in recent years open up down here, and they're popping up all over the place now. And it's kind of like this is a, you know, a coffee producing country down here. That's like they're one of their biggest exports, if not the biggest. And just like for people to spend, you know, $5 or whatever it is on a cup of coffee that says Starbucks on it versus the local stuff, just kind of like, I don't know, I laugh.
I thought the biggest export was offshore sports books. I'm surprised to hear that coffee is so popular.
Yeah, no, coffee's big. You get bananas and pineapple and stuff like that, but I think coffee's number one, yeah.
All right, so let's talk college football here. Let's go ahead and look at Saturday's game, 103-104, standalone FBS game. Navy takes on Army. Army 7-point favorite, favored for the first time since 2001, favored by this big of a number for the first time since 1991. So, Brent, what's the betting action look like for this one?
Well, it's kind of one-sided favoring Army. The line just, you know, it barely ticked up from like 6.5 up to 7 where we are right now. We do have power ratings guys and actually analytics guys who help us out with these numbers. And we kind of, it seemed like that, you know, this number was right sitting at 6.5 minus 15 as an opener on Army. And looks like that was kind of accurate in that there's, you know, the sevens that are out there are like 7-15, the kind of half point that it ticked up. Also, the wager count being, you know, just over 2-1 favoring Army suggests that we maybe could have been a bit higher. So just, you know, a half point on the key number 7 right now. Total has dropped as well, too. We're sitting at, I didn't open at 44, but I see in the market it did open that high. We were fortunate enough that we opened just a little bit later after got beat down just a bit. Wager count there is almost 4-1 favoring the under. So it's kind of, you know, typical in these games. You do expect, you know, them to eat up the clock and have lower scoring games, and also weather becomes a factor. So no surprise this one's dipped down. We thought we were going at a, you know, a decent number with 43 in terms of being low, and it's still lower than that. Everyone out there now is pretty much at 40 or 40.5, I think, is as high as it gets.
Yeah, and this is a game that's gone under 12 straight times. So I'm glad that the sports books, you know, because this is one that you and I have talked about in the past, and we've talked about other option versus option teams. I mean, this is a total that would regularly open in the low 50s, and it would get bet down a touchdown or more. And I would ask you year in and year out, why isn't this number just set lower? And you always had an answer for me about, you know, looking at what the teams did over the course of the year and all that kind of thing. It feels like the sports books got it right this time around, where they opened this thing low enough.
Yeah, I mean, you'll watch. This game will go over this time around. Yeah, no, you're right. It's kind of, you know, you look at games and how high is high enough and how low is low enough, and et cetera as well. I mean, you know, a good example we might touch on later when we talk about NFL would be New Orleans and Tampa Bay. I mean, that game, these two teams played in week one, and the game total was set at 50. They combined for 88 points it was, 48, 40, if that sounds right. Yeah, 88 points they combined for. So now they're playing this week, so what's the right number? You know, we came up with 57.5, and turns out that was a touch high as well. So, you know, really, we come up with a number that we think is going to balance action, and after that, it's bettors versus bettors going after it.
Well, and of course, too, I mean, you look at a game like that, for example, 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts, heavy rain, so that's probably the reason why you're seeing under money more than anything. And that's something that, you know, at this time of the year, too, not to go off on a tangent, and I'm sure we can talk about this a little bit more in subsequent NFL weeks, but you know, you're putting these numbers up. In some cases, you have look-ahead lines, maybe, you know, Friday or Saturday for the next week in the NFL. You're putting them up Sunday night after the games are played. You know, forecasts aren't entirely accurate 6-7 days in advance. So you know, that's something that I think has to be a little bit of a challenge here in the month of December, is that you may get exposed a little bit on an under because of weather or something to that effect.
Yeah, weather is a very, I mean, we always joke about how, like, being a weatherman is probably one of the best jobs in the world, because you really only have to be, you know, half right half the time. You know, it's like, it's one of the easier jobs there is to hold on to, I would think. And again, as you touched on, we're opening up lines, you know, well before that information is known. And also, you can't always assume in terms of what's going to happen in terms of bad weather. I mean, you sometimes get, you know, snowy games where an offensive team who runs the ball well and controls the offensive line of scrimmage just bowls the other team over and just runs up and down the field, and the game goes over, you know, on their own. Other times, you know, teams manage the win quite well. So you just don't know what's going to happen game time. We do our best to interpret what we have in terms of weather information and stuff like that, and the bettors do the same thing.
Now, we'll talk about sharp action in the bowl games on each week's show here, but we don't really have anything to talk about as of yet. But I do want to touch on the bowl season with you here, Brent, because this is a really unique animal. I think we've talked about this in the past before, but the closest thing we have to this is basically week one of the college football season or the NFL season, where those numbers are up for quite a while. They get beaten around. You have to do a lot to manage your risk in that time period. It's the same thing here with the bowl games. In some cases, up to 4 weeks lead time or more, you know, prior to these games being played. So sort of walk us through what that process is like in terms of opening the number, getting some initial hits, and then kind of playing the waiting game, waiting to see which way you have to move a number.
Yeah, I mean, coming out as early as we have to, you know, just to, you know, be competitive with the market, you do react more to moves within the market in terms of whether than just on your own action. I mean, if I'm open a game at you know, 4.5 and the market drops down to 4 and I don't have any action at, you know, at 4.5 either way, you kind of go with it. Now, if you took some substantial action on the minus 4.5, yeah, you would hold on to it. But you really, you know, you really have to move a little bit more on air than you typically would. You know, our only defense really in terms of having to put these numbers up early is we do have, you know, very, you know, smaller limits. The opening week, we go about a week with low limits. We double them up kind of after the second or third week. And again, we'll bump them up the week of each game and, you know, 2 days before each game as well. Many factors as well. I mean, you're not only line movement we're kind of protecting against, but also injuries and stuff like that. There, you know, something always seems to happen in the bowl season. You also, you know, inevitably find out about suspensions and stuff like that. And that maybe, you know, sometimes we're talking about it where it's like, you know, 6 to 10 players on a team get involved in suspensions and stuff like that. So you really do kind of have to play a bit of defense here. It's not just a matter of watching your wager counts and watching the markets in terms of where your action's coming in and identifying the sharp and public splits and all that kind of stuff. So you've got, you know, a lot of time in terms of to work through it, but you also get a lot more variance in terms of line movement as well. So it is a bit more risky. And again, the defense we have is putting, you know, lower limits on these games. That's pretty much all we can do.
Well, and I think what's so interesting about the bowl season too, I mean, you know, these matchups were announced on Sunday, and I presume you open Sunday night or Monday, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're used to focusing on the college football market every single day throughout the week because it is such a popular betting market. But right now, with everything else that's going on, your favorite sport, college basketball, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, UFC, there's another big UFC card here this weekend. Maybe college football can get lost in the shuffle a little bit here. So, you know, how closely do you watchdog it? I mean, do you like just basically put up alerts and just kind of, you know, wait and see if something gets hit? Are you, you know, setting aside time each day to check and see what your counts look like? How does that work?
Yeah, it's just a general, you know, we go through this stuff, you know, throughout the day, several times a day. And one thing I do have, a tool that helps me with things is that I can sort my events by my risk and by my exposure. So if a game suddenly gets out of hand and kind of like, you know, would say, quote unquote, you know, pass by my eye, it'll pop up to the, you know, kind of the top of the heap in terms of my risk manager. So that definitely helps me out when you're talking about these events that are so far in advance.
So you mentioned that, you know, limits kind of gradually increase here on some things. And like you said, you are a little bit more likely to move on air just because you don't want to be exposed. Do you, as a sports book, I mean, you know, I know that you have a group that helps you out with putting out the lines and putting up analytics and stuff like that. Are you willing to take some of your own positions here early on and just sort of be like, you know, we kind of want that team because of spot X, Y, and Z, or we kind of want that team because, you know, coach is retiring, so we assume that that line's probably going to go up. Do you put some of your own influence into it?
No, and honestly, just the real short answer to that is that we're in here to manage risk and book the action. We're not in the gambling business as gamblers per se. We're here, as unsexy as it sounds, we're here to manage risk, and that you know. Same applies in terms of banks and mortgages and loans and stuff as it does to sports betting. So, it doesn't sound as great in terms of holding a position, but I mean, I do have, you know, numbers in terms of what we work off basically are like no juice lines. And then we go from there in terms of adding the juice and where the market goes with them. So we kind of, you know, come up with what we feel is the fair price in terms of the outcome. We do have, again, analytics guys who we work with coming up with these numbers. So when we see lines kind of getting out of hand, we look, you know, it's our numbers versus someone else's number. So it's not always accurate. We've talked about in the past as well. I mean, like, you really can't hold a position based on your numbers and what you might think the right price is, simply because there's just different types of sports betting. And we talked about, I think, on last week's show, where you get five guys in involved in sports gambling and ask them how they analyze games, and you'll probably get five different answers. I mean, there's guys who are, like we talked about, situational stuff weighs more heavily, information stat, you know, stats in terms of weather or injuries or whatever. You've got your statistical guys, you've got your analytics guys who are, you know, analytics guys are just cold. They just go on the numbers. There's zero emotion involved to it as well. You know, the guys who will look at situational stuff, as we touched on, like look ahead spots and sandwich spots, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the one method isn't the right one. I'd much rather have everyone, all the other sharp guys in the market, have them fine tune our prices for us.
Now, one last question about the bowl season here is, I'm looking up and down the screen. A lot of games either sitting on a key number or a half point above or below a key number. Is that by design? Is that sort of a way to, you know, manage your risk and kind of get out in front of it by, you know, hovering close to these key numbers?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just unavoidable that you're just not going to be around a key number, but opening, you know, games around, like, you know, your 4.5s and 4s, your 2.5s and 3s, definitely does help you in terms of your line movement. It's got to be the right price to start off with, but I mean, you want, you know, numbers where if you have to move so much, like if you're going down to 3, you can, you know, sit on 3, you know, use the juice in your favor without having to move the number, and therefore, you know, reduce your exposure. But we don't really, we don't fear games landing on key numbers as much as we might in the NFL.
All All right, speaking of the NFL, let's go ahead and go over there now. We got six games with some sharp action, but also want to talk about some interesting developments here in the betting market for week 14. And in the notes that you sent over, Brent, one of the things that's kind of caught your eye a little bit here is that the traditional favorite prices for public teams have had some interesting action this week.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the teams who you pretty much say always get support. I mean, I joke about how I say the next time we need the Patriots to win will be like the very first time yet. I mean, just they're probably the number one most public team we have in the house here, and they've gone from like a 9.5 down to 7.5 as an opener. Kansas City's been bet obviously all season long because of that offense. They've gone from 8 down to 6.5 or 7 dog 15. New Orleans, you know, maybe they're arguably the best team in the league right now. They've gone from like a 9.5 or 10 down to 8. That's a big move as well. Dallas, I mean, America's team, here they are, you know, at home with a big game in Philadelphia. Basically, if they win that game, they're kind of probably secure their division. They've gone from, I think, 4.5 down to roughly 3.5 or 3 and juice. Pittsburgh, I mean, Pittsburgh's playing an ugly, ugly Oakland team. They've gone from 13 down to 10.5 and 10. Denver from 6 down to 4, you know, high-scoring Rams team from 4 down to 3. So all of these teams that always get public money, the Lions seem to have gone against them. So it's very, very strange-looking week ahead.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the next point we want to touch on here, you know, I think back to last week with Jacksonville, and we see Tennessee taking money here against Jacksonville on Thursday night. Obviously, by the time our listeners hear this, they'll know the outcome of that game. But Jacksonville last week, you know, that was a 7 to 7.5 point adjustment from their previous game against Indianapolis, just, I believe, 3 weeks prior. Jacksonville goes out, wins, shuts out the Colts, where it looked like we saw a pretty big overreaction to the first meeting between those two teams. We have a game here this week between the Jets and Buffalo where we've seen a pretty big adjustment to the number for these two teams as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes you just kind of like, it's tough to explain some of these moves because it's just a massive, massive move. If you look at how these, you know, this line was when these two teams played, I think it was what they had a bye week or whatever it was. So like probably 4 weeks ago, Buffalo played at the Jets, and I believe the Jets were a 7-point favorite there. And now they're going to, you know, again, generally just take the general assumption that home field is worth 3 points in the NFL. Now it may be slightly more, slightly less than that, depending on the location. We talked about the Rams Kansas City game where maybe that was the home field of the Rams was, you know, valued slightly less than the full 3 points. But just as a general rule, let's call it 3 points. So I mean, on a neutral field, you're talking about the Jets being a 4-point favorite when they were a 7-point favorite at home. Now they got throttled, of course, by Buffalo 41-10 in that home spot. Now they're going to Buffalo. And Buffalo's the favorite in this game by 3 or 3 minus 120. So you're talking about that game being a pick on a neutral field, like basically a 4-point move on this game than they played just 4 weeks ago. Now, I mean, Buffalo, there's been some personnel changes. Buffalo cut ties with Benjamin. I don't know if that's, you know, addition by subtraction. Darnold looks like he's going to be the quarterback for the Jets. But, I mean, you know, this is the first time all season long that Buffalo's been favored, which is just, I mean, yes, they did crush the Jets last time around, but, you know, it's like the Jets are obviously going to play better than they did that time around. So it's just like a big move, I think, to have the Jets as a massive 7-touchdown favorite at home and then flip that now in Buffalo and have the, you know, Buffalo favored by 3 minus 120. So just, you know, a bit of a surprising move, I think, and just kind of interesting how the Lions move that many points in 4 short weeks.
Yeah, it really is. And, I mean, look, is it justified? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. You know, I mean, Sam Darnold coming back for the Jets, you would think that helps.
Right. But how good is Buffalo? I mean, Buffalo's a 4-8 team, and they're 2-3 at home. Jets are 3-9. You look at points differential, which I know it doesn't hold much water, but I mean, Buffalo's a net minus 15. Jets are net minus 64. It's like I don't know. This one surprises me.
Well, and you think about it too. I mean, you know, when the and I get it, Alex Smith is out, and I get it, Colt McCoy is out, and it's everybody's favorite punching bag, Mark Sanchez now. But the Redskins were a 1-point favorite at New York or at the Meadowlands against the Giants on October 28th. Here this week, the Giants are laying up to 4 in Washington. So, you know, that's an adjustment based on the quarterback position. But at the same time, you know, is Alex Smith really worth that much to the line? Is the drop from Colt McCoy to Mark Sanchez worth that much to the line? These are always interesting things to look at.
Yeah, I mean, that game in particular, I just, my own notes on that game, I basically have one note and it says ugly. I mean,
yes.
They're really like, I'm not, you know, I never want to be one to encourage people not to get financially involved in a game. Like, I hope you all get involved in every game, but that's a game I would just stay away from. And again, not just the quarterback situation with the Redskins, but even like the Giants. I mean, how motivated are they really to win? I mean, do you want to win and go further away from a good draft position? I mean, they're 4-8. They're out of it. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win the division or anything like that. So, you know, do you really want to be laying 3.5 on the road to Washington? I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't touch this game, and I wouldn't touch Washington either, catching the 3.5 just because. Well, you said it, Mark Sanchez.
Well, and here's the thing about Week 14 that's pretty interesting. We've seen a lot of big numbers this year. And I mean, you know, depending on how Oakland looks here, I think there was a chance that they'd be a 20-point dog when they went to Kansas City here in a couple weeks' time. Maybe that won't be the case now, although if you flip home field, as we mentioned a little bit earlier in the segment, it would have been about Kansas City minus 20.5, minus 21 at home. We'll see if that winds up holding true. But we've seen some big numbers here in the NFL this season. The two biggest numbers we have this week, the Chargers, number 126 in the rotation order, and Pittsburgh, number 131. Chargers, a 14-point favorite. Pittsburgh, anywhere from 10 to 11 out there in the marketplace. And they're both in brutal spots.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, like, we talked about before. How do you, like, it's tough to really qualify and, you know, these positions that these teams are in. And it's something that I encourage, like, you know, public bettors definitely to delve into, is to look into these situational spots. You know, schedule spots always come into play. Like, you talk NBA or NHL, you get schedule spots all the time, and those teams play so many games, and especially NHL, it's a very physical game. So when you're talking about playing, you know, 4 games and 6 nights or 3 and 4 nights, these things come into play. Now, when it comes to the NFL, it's not so much in terms of the number of games you play. Now, you know, there are teams coming off a short week. Both the Chargers and the Steelers this week are coming off short weeks. They played that thriller the other night, which was great for the books, I'll mention. But now you've got them both. You know, both these teams really, really need to win in terms of the positioning and stuff like that, whether it's for the division. The Chargers have the big game with Kansas City coming up. Pittsburgh got Baltimore breathing down their neck as well. So these are real big games. Also, Pittsburgh, they've now lost 2 in a row. I mean, they really need to get a big win. And here they go, basically get served up this game versus Oakland. Now, this line here, you've got talking about a Pittsburgh team who is a 10.5-point favorite. Now, I mean, that line opened 13 and plummeted all the way down to, you know, down to 10.5 where I am right now. And you figure, like, what drives a number like that? And I think, you know, the only thing that really can explain it is that you've got a bad, bad schedule spot for Pittsburgh. Now, I say that because they came off the short week, big emotional loss to the Chargers. The running back got hurt again, so they'll probably be down to their third-string running back. They got this Oakland team who looks just, like, dead. And in the one game, the most important game they have every single season, the real litmus test for them is playing New England. They got to beat New England every year, it seems. It's really like their psyche. It's such a huge, huge game. So they could come off with a big game versus Chargers, a big disappointment, I would say, in the end. They've got to travel to Oakland. Then they come back and play New England. How are they not, you know, planning already for that Oakland game or for that New England game? I mean, it's just Oakland, right? How can you not look past them? I mean, you're talking about a team who's lost, I don't know, they've won one of their last 8 or maybe even worse than that. I mean, Oakland, you know, it's a disaster over there. So it's an easy for Pittsburgh to look at that and see the same thing. Talking about the Chargers, exact same thing. I mean, this is just, you know, a massive, massive game for them next week, after they come off the game at Pittsburgh, where they're the opposite of Pittsburgh when they had that big, big emotional win. So they're coming off a high. Now they got to play Cincinnati. I mean, the Bengals really look bad. And then basically the game that could be the one to decide the division at Kansas City. I mean, it's just, you know, yes, they're professionals, all that, but how, as a Charger or a Pittsburgh player, how can you not be kind of looking past your opponent this week? It's just, you know, it's difficult to say that. Now, Chargers line has, you know, it opened at 14.5 and it's sitting down at 14 right now. So just a small tick down, but the Pittsburgh line definitely has moved a lot more.
Yeah, and the Chargers short week too, taking on Kansas City next week. So, you know, these are the considerations. And keep in mind too that it's week 14. And yeah, maybe some teams are getting a second win for the playoffs and this and that. But also, these guys are tired, they're hurt, they're banged up. Any chance you can get to maybe steal a little bit of rest here late in the season for that stretch run, teams may be prone to doing that. And I think Pittsburgh could very well be one of those teams here this week. Brett, we got six games with sharp action. We'll go ahead and roll through these to finish out this week on Bang the Book Radio, beginning with the first game on the board here for Sunday, game 105-106, Baltimore takes on Kansas City. Interesting game here. Top offense in yards per play, top defense in yards per play allowed.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because just, I mean, Kansas City, like we, you know, we talked about, one of those teams that always gets public money. They are getting public money here as well. So I've got a wager count almost, just over 2-1, excuse me, favoring the Chiefs at home here versus Baltimore. But you see this line number, you know, has dropped quite a bit from 8 down to the 6.5 or 7 where it is right now. I am sitting at 7 dog 15 simply because I've got more wagers on Kansas City. So if I don't have to cross through the number 7, I can hold at 7 and just use, 5 cents extra juice that way. That really serves me well in terms of protecting our risk just in case the game does land 7. But I'm getting, like I said, I got the sharp money early on Baltimore plus the 7.5. Like I said, I'm down a 7. I know in the market 6.5, and I'm getting public money the other way. So I've got a, one of those decent spots we look for in terms of the sharp and public split there. So, yeah, it's interesting with this game too as well, because I just, you just figure because Kansas City's offense is so good, they are going to put up a lot of points. Obviously, the running back situation isn't, we saw last week, it's not the same as it was earlier in the season because of the personnel loss with Hunt. But, they're still going to get their share of points. You're pretty much, assure of that. And Baltimore, is Lamar Jackson the kind of guy who's going to be able to put up a whole lot of points and keep pace with Kansas City? I just don't know if he's that type of quarterback. I mean, they're going to run the ball well for sure and perhaps, run down the clock and just kind of, be physical with Kansas City in terms of running down the clock and keeping Kansas City offense off the field. But, you're looking at a team, Baltimore, who's sitting there, like I said, they're 7-5. They've won 3 straight. They're right behind Pittsburgh in terms of the division lead. They came off. But then again, they came off their bye. They beat Cincinnati, who's very bad. We were debating who was worse, Cincinnati or Oakland. Well, they beat Oakland the following week after that. And then last week they were, the sharp guys were all over Atlanta when Baltimore was playing at Atlanta, and Baltimore got the win there. So they upset the sharps and did well for us in that spot. So, I don't know how comfortable I am with Baltimore plus 7.5, but I think, ball control and using the clock is going to be the key for them to get inside this number.
Well, one of the things you and I talked about before we hit record here on this segment is that sometimes there are things between the side and total that just don't really seem to correlate, don't really seem to add up. This is one of those games to me where the total is going up, but the side is coming down. And the thought process to me is a high-scoring game definitely favors Kansas City. So that totals move is kind of interesting here.
Yeah, I guess the consistent narrative all season long basically has been just how bad Kansas City's defense is, and that's kind of something that maybe even gets to the point where it becomes over-exaggerated at some point and the number gets ticked up because of that. Now, public bettors always love betting the over, and they are in this game as well. Not a crazy wager count because the number is kind of high for, especially for a Baltimore game at 51.5, but I got a wager count of about, 2.5 favoring the over. This number did open at 49.5, so it's gone up a full 2 points on the move. But I think, you talk about how you're getting dog money at the totals going up and the Kansas City's the higher powered offense. But I think it's just kind of a reflection of the consensus or the feeling in the market in terms of how bad Kansas City's defense might be.
Yeah, and this was a game early totals movement going up. Now we're seeing a little bit of buyback coming back down. And as I mentioned, I think earlier on the show here this week, a total of 51.5 or higher will be the highest total in Baltimore Ravens history, dating back to 1996 when Art Modell stole the team from Cleveland. No, I'm not upset or anything still. This would be the highest stole. Yes, completely took them away from the city of Cleveland. But this would be the highest total ever in Baltimore Ravens history. So keep that in mind as this is one of those outlier games that we touched on yesterday with Brad Powers. How about game 109-110, Carolina and Cleveland? We've got some sharp action on the side for this one.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland all season long have been like a public team. We talked about previously how like season after season, Cleveland has been one of the sharp teams that sharp bettors have been behind because they've been so bad. So they're basically always undervalued. The Patriots have been the team that sharp bettors always go against because they're always overvalued. Now, the public has got behind Cleveland this season pretty much as well. And I'm just a bit surprised to find that I've got, you know, a wager count slightly favoring Carolina. I just kind of expected that I was going to get more public money on Cleveland being a small home dog in this spot, and it just kind of hasn't come. My wager count is almost dead even on this game. I did take sharp action on this game, and that came on Carolina at a pick. So, you know, the surprising thing for me is you kind of, it's easy to make a case why if you're a public bettor, you should be jumping behind Cleveland. I mean, they did win two of their last three. Cleveland was a sharp play last week on the road at Houston. Now, they didn't get the money, but they were a sharp play. And now I got sharp money the other way with Carolina. And you're talking about Carolina, who's lost four straight games, and they seem like a bit of a mess. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I thought this was going to be one of those games where a pick'em was going to be the right spot, and I probably wouldn't get much sharp money involved, you know, either way. But lo and behold, I got sharp money on Carolina, and I think it might be a reflection of where they are in terms of the standings. I mean, it's sad to say that at 6-6, Carolina still has life. I mean, looking at division leaders, you've got Dallas at 7-5, Eagles and the Redskins are 6-6, Chicago's 8-4, Minnesota's 6-5-1. New Orleans is running away with their division. Then you've got Carolina right behind them. And the Rams at 11-1 and Seahawks, who have won three in a row, sitting at 7-5. So this could be kind of like the game, I guess. Maybe they're looking at a motivational factor in terms of this is Carolina's season right here. They got to win this game and they got a shot. They lose it, they're done. But sharp money on Carolina, like I said, at the pick, I'm up to 1.5 right now. My count pretty much dead even.
Well, I'm pretty happy for Aaron Rodgers here in game 111-112. Finally gets rid of Mike McCarthy. It's been a long time coming there for Packers fans. Hopefully they're as happy about it as their quarterback is. Probably not a surprise, therefore, to see what's going on here with this Falcons-Packers matchup.
Yeah, and again, it's you know, always unfortunate I talk about when I got, you know, sharp money going on the over of a game, but just because a game, especially, you know, these two teams in terms of Atlanta and Green Bay, typical public bettors going over on this game, and I got, you know, sharp money on the over this one as well. So over 48 is where I took sharp money on this one. I'm up to a 50.5 right now. Wager count, shockingly, all one-sided towards the over, almost 4-1 favoring the over as well. So the only thing that might save us in terms of getting something back is all of a sudden we hear about weather. We talked about that earlier. Maybe something will happen in Green Bay. Maybe the weather will impact this total. But, you know, you're talking about Atlanta, who they started the season. They just had such a bad spot in terms of all the injuries and stuff like that, and that's carried over. Their defense isn't giving up as many points as they were earlier in the season, but they have lost four straight games. They're pretty much done. You're looking at Green Bay as well. You know, what a disappointment they've been. They've lost, what they've lost five of their last six games as well. And really, I mean, the straw that broke the camel's back, of course, last week losing to Arizona. I mean, you just don't lose to Arizona. They did that 2017 at home. So coaching change, at least on an interim basis, and they got rid of McCarthy. So, we'll see what happens to the rest of the offense and how they respond after that. But, yeah, it's just, you know, this game more than anything else, like if you look, you know, the start of the season, and we told you, like, you know, this game was just like had a marquee game written all over it. Now you're looking at Atlanta 4-8 and Green Bay 4-7-1. Just a, you know, colossal disappointment, I think, on this whole season.
We'll move one spot down the board here to the NFC South. New Orleans takes on Tampa Bay, game 113-114 on the card. The total getting some interest here, and I think that we kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit earlier on in the show.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on this in terms of the, you know, the how the total was set for week one and where we are now. And again, week one, that was, you know, the New Orleans game, New Orleans Tampa Bay in New Orleans had a total of 50, 48-40, I think was the final, with Fitzmagic basically being birthed after Crab Legs was suspended. So Crab Legs was on the suspension. Fitzmagic came out and put four TDs and 400 yards up, shootout. 88, you know, was your total. So what do you open the next, this game up? Well, we went in a full 7.5 points higher than the week one opener at 57.5. Of course, we get bet under. So here we are with sharp money on the under this game. 57.5 is where it took sharp action. We're 2 points below that right now at 55.5. So, you know, you obviously have to make adjustments in terms of how they played previously. And again, Tampa Bay's defense has, you know, consistently been giving up a whole lot of points. But even, you know, as you saw last week and the previous weeks, with Crab Legs back at quarterback, he's done quite well for the team. They've rattled off a couple wins last week at Carolina. So, You know, that offense looks like it can score a whole lot of points. Their defense has played actually half decent last couple of weeks. Now, it was Carolina who they held 17 points. The week before that, they held San Francisco's lowly offense to 9 points. So, you know, maybe a bit exaggerated. Maybe we could have adjusted the number a little bit lower. And, of course, New Orleans comes off that game last week where they lost 13-10. So maybe we just kind of overreacted to the opening number based on the week one result.
Well, and like I mentioned here, it looks like a pretty bad forecast for this game. Winds up in the 30-mile-per-hour range, a lot of rain as well. So, you know, it'll be pretty interesting to see what Tampa Bay does offensively because they cannot run the football. Will they force the pass? We'll have to wait and find out for Sunday's game. So we'll take a move down here on the board, a pretty big jump game, 127-128, Detroit and Arizona. You know, like you say, Brent, you don't pick these games. We just talk about the ones that have sharp action because – this is not a particularly good game.
Yeah, there's a complaint box at the door. You can put your suggestions in there. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's not, like I said, I mean, I looked, you know, I talked about earlier how the Giants-Washington game is just probably one of the ugliest games on the board. You could argue the Jets and Buffalo might be as well. But, I mean, this one's right up there with them as well. Detroit on the road at Arizona. And, you know, Arizona, I mean, they've shown, you know, a little bit of life. They did get the win last week beating Green Bay in Green Bay. But, I mean, since they made the, you know, the changes with their offensive coordinator and stuff like that, I think the Cardinals' offense has been a little bit better. They kind of a dedication, I guess you want to call it, to Johnson and running the ball and, you know, trying to get the ball to Fitzgerald, I guess, as much as possible. So they've been okay, and they came up with that, you know, that game where they hung tough with Kansas City for much of that game, losing 26-14 at KC. They lost by lowly Oakland, and then after that by 2 points, and then they got blew out by the Chargers and off that win. So kind of a bit of a tough team to figure out, and I guess you could say the same thing about the Lions. I mean, they've also been a disappointment this season, and that offense, just Stafford just having a very un-Stafford-type season. But I do have sharp money on the Lions in this one. It came -2. We're up to 3.15 on this one right now. So it seems like market wide, everyone's getting behind the Lions. I don't have a ton of public money behind it. I've got just a slight wager count favoring the Lions. So you're basically pretty much even in terms of where the public bettors are going. But sharp better money came in early on Detroit -2.
One more game here for this week's version of the odds report. We go to game 129-130, Philadelphia and Dallas. Before we get to the sharp action, which is on the total for this game, I have to say, when I took a look back at the card here for Sunday, and I saw this line sitting at 3.5, I was pretty surprised. It feels like it's a little bit of a short number. What do you think?
Well, I mean, this number did open at 4, and it got, you know, slightly bet down. Now, I don't know, you know, if somewhere out in the market, someone grabbed Philadelphia right away. 3.5 seems like the right number to me. I think it's going to be the number. And I think it's just, you know, it's such a big game for both these teams right now. And I say that because Dallas has won 4 straight. And they're 7-5 at the top of the division, and the Eagles kind of maybe quietly have won a couple of games in a row, and they're 6-6. I mean, the division is you know, it's a bit of a mess. You know, you almost kind of feel bad for Washington in terms of everything that's happened to them with the quarterback situation, losing their quarterback, of course, and losing their backup quarterback as well. So just bad, you know, for the Redskins, even though they are sitting right there the same as Philadelphia at 6-6. But, you know, I don't want to say you write the Redskins off, but it's, you know, 3 losses in a row. You pretty much, you know, that's pretty much a reality. Eagles now have, you know, they've won a couple games in a row in the division. They beat the Giants. Yes, the Giants. Then they beat Washington as well last week as well. So 2 wins, but, you know, not big wins nonetheless. But this is a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. So I think there's still a lot of respect for the Eagles in this one. I thought the line might be a little bit higher. I thought 4 was at least a good number. I did expect it to be a bit higher. And really, I think, too, the magnitude of this game kind of is reflected in how solid the number hasn't got bet around much. A slight wagered count favoring Dallas, but not a whole lot. You look at Dallas, you know, after this game, they go at Indianapolis, home to Tampa Bay. Yeah, Tampa Bay is a dangerous team. And then they're at the Giants. So you figure they should beat the Giants, and they should beat Tampa Bay at home. And Indy might be a tough game. Whereas Philadelphia, they're at the Rams. They're at home to Houston. So those are 2 tough games, probably going to lose to the Rams, just probably. And then they finish up with a game at Washington. So that's a game they should win as well. So this game, I think, really comes, you know, the division could be settled by this game right here. So it's a massive game, and I think it's going to be a playoff kind of feel to it for sure. And again, you know, Philadelphia, like I said, they look so bad, but they're, you know, all season long, but they're really right there. Dallas, you know, I've never been, you know, a Dallas fan per se. I'm not, you know, against Dallas at all, but you really don't become much of a fan when you sit on this side of the counter for long enough. But I mean, the trade for Cooper really seems to have worked out for them. You look at the win they had last week against New Orleans, which is a massive, massive win. Prescott was, I think he was like 24 out of 28 or something like that. Elliott running the ball did what he does. Cooper, you know, put up, you know, solid numbers again, and they've got a really good defense. So, you know, it's a big, big game here. I think it's probably going to decide the division, and, you know, home field is just huge in these things with Dallas at 5-1. So, you know, the 3.5, I think, you know, is a solid, solid number. I do see that some books are like 3 -130, or you get some 3.5 dog 15, dog 20. I'm sitting at 3.5 dog 15 off from the initial dip of 4.
Well, and I think the total is interesting here as well, because, you know, you've got Philadelphia and Dallas here who, you know, Dallas coming off that game against the Saints where they shut down that New Orleans offense. Philadelphia kind of an underachiever offensively here as well. So I think this is a total that's going to be pretty attractive and pretty interesting here as we get closer to kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that was where the where sharp money came in on this game. It has gone from 43 up to the 44 where we are right now. And again, it's interesting because you look at Dallas and, you know, that win last week against the Saints. I mean, it was just a great all-around game by them. 13-10 final obviously went way under the total. So you're like, okay, you kind of expect, you know, a lower number. And, you know, 43 we thought was going to be, you know, a typical NFC East kind of smash mouth game and have a nice low number, and that's going to work out for us. But sharp money came on this one on the over, so we're up to 44 right now. And again, public money on the over, no surprise, but the sharp money went the same way. So that's never, you know, a good spot for us now. You know, if you kind of reflect back to, I guess, 4 weeks ago when these two teams played, it was a 27-20 final. So, you know, Dallas got the win in that game. So maybe we're a bit low based on that last game, but also based on the way that Dallas played last week, you kind of thought that, you know, maybe, you know, defensively they were going to get the support in terms of setting the number. And we, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a smash mouth kind of game, and the total was, you know, it was an accurate number. I thought 43.5 or 43 was going to be good for us, but obviously the sharps thought otherwise.
Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, joining us here for this week's version of the Odds Report. Appreciate your time as always, sir. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for having me on, Adam. Appreciate it.
Always great to chat there with Brent. Again, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook. Love that segment. Love being able to take a look at all sides of the equation here from a risk management standpoint. And always really good to look on the other side of the counter as well. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll be joined by Joe Everett for our NFL Week in Review and Monday Night Football Preview. Good Monday Nighter here coming up to close out Week 14. Vikings, Seahawks up there in the Pacific Northwest. We'll chat about that one and recap Week 14. Then also Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com for our college football first look. We'll talk about the bowl games coming up on Saturday, and we'll talk about any other line moves that we've seen out there as well. And we'll do our hybrid handicapping the hardwood college basketball segment, chat some college hoops with him as well. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.